Welcome to the feet of Jesus. We are all, including me, at the feet of Jesus. We are learning from him. Remember, man has the ability to teach, to preach, to counsel, but the Holy Ghost preaches, teaches, and counsels according to the perfect will of God. The teacher is Jesus, and he's alive. Today, we are learning at the feet of Jesus. We should remember, when we call ourselves a Christian, what does it entail to be a Christian? What does it take to be a Christian? What is it to be a Christian? Many call themselves Christian, accept Jesus, without any awareness of the implication of such acceptance. When you say, I accept Jesus, what does it really mean to you? What does it really mean to me? Accepting Jesus is not a religious confession, just a confession. No. Accepting Jesus brings responsibility from heaven. Accepting Jesus is to accept the inheritance of the saints in light. Accepting Jesus is to accept the nature of God himself in your life. The scripture says, to be like Jesus Christ, that is the goal of every Christian. God has called us to embrace his lifestyle. What is God's lifestyle? Righteousness. Right from the Old Testament, there's one scripture that Apostle Paul quoted three times in his teaching, in the Galatians, in Hebrews, in Romans, to tell you the importance of such scripture. That scripture came from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And the prophecy, the just or the righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And Paul quoted this in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. The righteous shall live by faith. When he went to the Romans, he said it again, Romans chapter 1 17. The righteous shall live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38, he said it again. The righteous shall live by faith. This is the core truth and duty of a Christian. This is the duty of the gospel of Jesus Christ to believe. And God's promise is to send the Spirit of Father into your life. Take note. Jesus came to restore the relationship and fellowship between God and man based on faith. The duty of such faith. We have a duty to believe. Our duty is to believe. In whom? Have faith in God. When the Bible says righteousness, what does it really mean? When the Son of God, the Son of Man came, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus went on to say, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness. They shall be filled. What's the meaning of righteousness? The scripture says, there's no righteous, not even one on earth. Since Adam fell into sin, right on the garden, all men, we came from him. We shared in his sinful nature. All men, we bore the image of the fallen man, Adam. When you read the book of Genesis, one of the saddest scriptures I read is Genesis chapter 5. When God created man, he created man in God's image and likeness. But when you read Genesis chapter 5, it said Adam has another child called Seth, in the image and likeness of Adam. What a sadness. No longer image of God, but image of his father. Earthly father, not heavenly father. For God to say in Genesis chapter 6, the man has become flesh, and all the thoughts of his heart are towards earthly things and evil, and God regretted created man. We all know that story. But God made a promise that despite that situation all men face, God never gives up on human beings. He made a promise. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. And one day, a seed will come. When he comes, he will break all the curses. He will break all differences and restore the divine relationship between man and God in spirit and in truth. That seed was called the Messiah. That seed is the seed of the Son of David, the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's what he came to do. Jesus came for heavenly things, not for earthly things. Jesus came and died for all mankind, whether those who believe or don't believe. Jesus died for every human being. Everyone is called, but how many are chosen to be sons and daughters of God? The Bible is everywhere. The message of the gospel is everywhere. Everyone is called to embrace the lifestyle of righteousness. God wants a man to come back to him in righteousness and accept the free gift. What do I mean by free gift? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 says, God made him, he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ. In him, we become the righteousness of God in Christ. What's the meaning of Jesus knew no sin? Jesus never committed any sin. That's the gospel we stand on. When he stood in John chapter 8, verse 46, he said to them, who of you can convict me of sin? That's what Jesus asked. He who knew no sin. He was tempted, Hebrews say, he was tempted in all things like all of us, but never committed sin. That's why he's a lamb without blemish. We call him the Son of God. He lived on earth. And the scripture said in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, he's a branch, he's our righteousness. What is righteousness? Right standing before God. Right standing before God means you can enter into the presence of God without any sense of unworthiness. Oh my God. Our past is full of sin. All of us, we sin. All of us. But Jesus came to cancel that past. That's why he died for you and I. By shedding the blood that will terminate the sinful life. If you believe in him, if you embrace him, believing his finished work at the cross, faith in the cleansing power of his blood will cleanse you from all unrighteousness and purify your conscience. If you believe God raised him from the dead, you come into righteousness. And then you put on the new man. What is the new man? We have the old man. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, 24. The old man is Adam. The new man is a new Adam. Who is the new Adam? Jesus. The old man, God formed him from the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's Adam in the natural. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 44, as every human being has borne the image of Adam, we all become natural. We come from somewhere. But God called us to embrace, to put on Christ, the new man from heaven. Take note, from heaven, not from the dust. A life-giving spirit. That's what Christ has come to do in the gospel of Jesus of Nazareth. That's why Paul said, when I came to you, I know nothing. Only Jesus Christ crucified, but Jesus Christ resurrected. This is the gospel of God. Salvation, redemption, eternal life, reconciliation with God, right here on earth. Heaven, right here on earth. Fellowship with God, right here on earth. Hearing the voice of God, right here on earth. What a great mystery. That's why Paul said, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. The spiritual is not first, but the natural. What does it mean? We all come from the natural, and then comes the spiritual. That's why Jesus said, we need to be born again. What makes us spiritual is to be born again, a spiritual rebirth from heaven, received by faith in the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, believing his resurrection from the dead, justification or newness of life. That's what the Bible promises. It looks so simple. You don't have any work to do. The only work to do is the work of faith. What is the work of faith? Stop your own work. Not the works of righteousness we have done. No. But according to the grace of God. No one can earn salvation by works of self-righteousness. No, no, no. Jesus himself is our righteousness. That's why come before God to offer his blood, to die at the cross, to embrace a new kind of lifestyle and to ask you to come into newness of life. If you believe in him, that's the work he came to do. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to call us out of darkness into the light of God. To call us after the natural man to become spiritual, to become born again, to become children of God, and to be able to fellowship with God in spirit and in truth. Much more, he comes for eternal life. What is eternal life? When you look at the life of Christ, you will understand the life did not begin in the natural, it's in the spiritual. Jesus is called the eternal life that was with the Father, was manifested in the flesh. That's what he said. It's manifested in the flesh. By the way he entered the world through a virgin, shows that he's the Son of God. He's not an ordinary man. By the way Christ lived on this earth without committing any sin, that shows he's the Son of God. The way he resurrected shows he's the Son of God. That's why when you believe in Jesus, you believe in the Son of God. You believe in the man that came from heaven. You believe in one who has the fullness of the nature of God in him. So when you say, I accept Jesus, you are accepting the nature of God. Means you become partaker of the nature of Christ. Means the life of a Christian will come from Jesus himself. That's what Paul is saying. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I have been crucified with Jesus. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in this tent, in this body, in this earth, I'm living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. That is the truth. Now, how do we know that Christ is in us? How do we know we have the gift of righteousness? How do we know? The scripture says, God has sent the Spirit of His Son in our heart, the Spirit that calls out Abba, Father, naturally. The seal of righteousness of God is the Holy Spirit. The standard of perfect obedience of a man to God has been demonstrated in Christ Jesus. He obeyed to death at the cross. He never committed any sin. Meaning he never let the word of God fall to the ground. The words say he has to go to the cross. He went to the cross. The words say he has to die for us. He died for us. And he rose from the dead. So when you say, I believe in Jesus, when you call his name, you are calling heaven into your life. You are calling eternity into your life. You are calling the nature of God in you, the fruit of the Spirit. What a great mystery. Now, today, I'm talking to the gathering of the saints. That's the church. Church means the gathering of the saints, means those who are born again, those who have the Spirit of Christ. I'm talking to people that have the Spirit of Christ so you can realize whom you are. What is your identity in Christ? What is your identity as a Christian? We are fully identified ourselves with Christ when we embrace His lifestyle. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17 says, he who joined himself with the Lord is one spirit with Him. One spirit with Him. Which spirit? Ephesians chapter 4 said, one body, one spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 says, we are all being baptized into one spirit, into one body. We are members of the family of God. That's why we call God Father. God is the God of every person, every human being. But He's the Father of those who embrace the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Those who believe in His Son, those who believe what Jesus did, those who repent and embrace Him in righteousness, repentance towards God, faith towards Christ, bring eternal life and the gift of righteousness when the Spirit of God comes and abides in you. Now, remember what Jesus said. How do we know them? You will know them by their fruit. Which fruit are we talking about? The fruit of righteousness. Evidence of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now we are here on earth. We are here on earth. For which purpose we are here today? God called you and I, as His children, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What's the meaning of in spirit and in truth? We talked about it. We are going to talk about it again. It means you must be in the spirit to relate with God. The spirit is not just speaking tongues. The spirit is a reality. It is an unshakable confidence by faith of the reality of the unseen kingdom of God is in our midst. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 from verse 20, 21, the kingdom of God does not come by sight. It is within you. It is in our midst today. What's the meaning of in spirit and in truth? We are here to fellowship with Jesus in spirit and in truth. We are here to pray in spirit and in truth. We are here to have a relationship with God in spirit and in truth. What's the meaning of in spirit? What's the meaning of in truth? The spirit is God's dimension, is the realm of God. Means if I want to relate with God in intimacy, I must be in the spirit, in God's dimension. I must operate in the dimension in which God lives and operates. If I want to speak with God, I must be in the spirit to speak with God. If I want to hear from God, I must be in the spirit to hear from God. If I'm in the natural, how will I be able to hear the one who lives in the spirit? Means I need to shift from the natural to the spirit, and there I will be able to hear from him and to relate with God in spirit and then in truth. But if it is not in spirit, it is not in truth and it's all nothing. If it is not in spirit, it is not in truth. And that's where the key is. That's why God is inviting everyone to come to his presence. Come to me, we are heavy laden. Whatever we do as evidence of our relationship with Jesus must be in spirit and in truth, for God's sake. How do you are in spirit? By faith. That is faith. What is faith? We live by faith when we are able to recognize our union with Jesus Christ in the spirit. I repeat. We live by faith when we recognize our union with Jesus Christ in spirit. We worship Christ by faith when we recognize our union with him in spirit. That's what the Lord is saying. Now, to be in the spirit, this body cannot be in the spirit. This body is in the natural body. But we have seen the previous message we have shared with you, go back and read and study spirit world. You will see the part of you that can only be in the spirit is your spirit. The part of you that can receive inspiration and revelation from God is your spirit. I mean, my spirit is a contact point. My spirit is a communication point between God and me through the spirit of Jesus. So who can take me in the spirit? That's the work of Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will help you. He will translate your spirit to be with him in the spirit. How can this be? When he comes, he opens the eyes of your spirit, the eyes of your conscience, and you can receive vision from God. You can hear the voice of God clearly. You can see. That's what happened to Apostle Paul, who never knew who Jesus was. But on his way to Damascus, his spiritual eyes were opened. He saw vision of the Lord straight in his heart, in the spirit. And he spoke with Jesus. Paul instructed these Christians to be what? In the spirit. To live in the spirit and to walk by the spirit. That is what we are called to do. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 26, verse 16. Now, we all know this now. To be in the Spirit, who be usher me? Holy Spirit. How Holy Ghost will do? He does it through the living Word of God. I mean, the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, will carry me beyond the realm of the senses, beyond the natural, into the very presence of God, into the high mountain of God, in the spirit, and there I will be able to enter the counsel of God. There I will be able, because of the gift of righteousness in Christ, to hear from God, to perceive his mind, to perceive his thought in the spirit, if I'm a spiritual person. A true prophet, a true man of God, when he comes to you in spirit and in truth. When he comes to you, the message is delivering to you, comes from above. I remember this word prophet Bishop said one day. He said, "Prophet Bishop, receive the message from heaven and hand over it to Mr. T.B. Joshua. Mr. T.B. Joshua, give it to you." What's the meaning of that? any prophet from the Bible, Genesis, Revelation, receive revelation from God because he's communicating in the spirit with God. He's a spiritual person. He received living oracles from God in the presence of God. And then his human nature will listen to that message and go and be a contact point and deliver the message to people. Moses climbed the mountain of Horeb. Go and read Exodus chapter 34. He went into the presence of God for 40 days, 40 nights. And he heard the voice of God. He received living oracles from God. And Moses wrote them on tablets of stones and descended from the mountain to share that with his people. Now, you receive an invitation of God. What you want, that relationship, what you're asking for, to know your future, to know the mind of God, to know his will, you must be in the spirit to perceive it and to know it. And God called every person for that. It's not just for prophet or apostle. It's for every person born again. The commandment of Paul, he said to you and I, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Be in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You can see the reason why the apostles of old and the first disciple, they were all in that Spirit. That's why they never allowed anything in the natural to hinder their movement towards Christ. That's why you saw them selling their properties, everything, and gathering in the saints. Because they were fellowship with God in spirit and in truth. And they saw the presence of God in their lives. Now, for you and us, how can we be in the spirit? That's why the key to be in the spirit, we have shared with you. And today we're going to talk about it. The bridge that will connect you to log into the spirit is meditation. I'm going to talk about meditation today again. What is the purpose of meditation? Meditation, please. Let's talk about it. Meditation is not imagination. Meditation in the Word of God. Meditation is this. We meditate in this Bible, in this living Word of God. The prophets of old received this from their heart, from God, like Moses and Elijah and others. And they wrote it for us. That word originally was raw in spirit and in truth when they heard it from the mouth of God. Now, this is a letter. This is word written. When you meditate, this one will be translated to the original form. In spirit and in truth are the prophet receiving their heart. The purpose of meditation is to translate the written word to a life-living word in your heart. Meditation is to transfer this natural word you read here to become spiritual inside your heart. And that's the word that brings miracle. That's the word you hear God. That's the word you speak and God listens to. How can this be? The purpose of meditation is to connect you to the spirit. That's what I'm going to talk about you today. The purpose of meditation in your life is to translate you from the natural point of view to the spiritual point of view. How can this be? It takes the mind of Christ to know the mind of God. When we say meditation in the Word of God is a bridge from the natural to the spiritual. That's why the disciples of old were always reading, studying the Word. The prophetic and apostolic ministry is called the ministry of the Word. The foundation is the Word of God, Acts chapter 6, verse 2, verse 4 to verse 7, and the Word of God grew. The word they heard from Jesus live, that's the word they share with us today in the Gospel of Jesus. The word the prophets of old received live, that's the word they put in the scroll in the Bible we read today. When we meditate under the power of the Holy Spirit, that word will become its very natural spirit and truth in your heart. And that's the key to vision. That's the key to revelation. That's the word that builds the kingdom of God in your heart. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Now, I want to explain to you the purpose of meditation. I do just a simple graphics by the grace of God just to carry you along because it's a spiritual thing. But we try to use an example in the natural we all know, so we can have a figurative way of understanding this spiritual truth. which seems so difficult for people to understand. People see the confusion between thinking and meditation. How many people, how do I meditate? How do I know I'm meditating? I start after I forgot. Today I've not meditated at all. I don't have faith at all. But you don't know. You don't know. The river is running, but you don't have any awareness of it. So let's talk about it. So the purpose of meditation. The purpose of meditation, as I said to you, meditation will shift, redirect your focus from the natural to the spiritual. Watch the graphic I'm going to show you now and follow me step by step by the grace of God. What is the purpose of meditation? Meditation shifts and redirects our focus from the natural point of view to God's point of view. Can this be? Some say, oh, this situation is bad. This situation will lead you to death. This is going to happen to you. That's what I see in the natural. But when I come to God, I need to know, God, what are you saying? I want to see what God is looking at. In the battlefield, everybody saw the huge Goliath. The eyes of body, when they open, we see the impending doom. We see impossibility, and we got scared, afraid, and we give up. When the eyes of faith are opened, you see the sovereignty, the greatness, and the goodness of God in your life. You're able to see beyond the natural, God's position. That was the case of David. He saw beyond the natural. That's why he spoke prophetically. Everything he said came to pass. Why? He was spiritual. When we're going to see beyond the natural circumstances, we are overwhelmed. And that's why faith said, we do not look at the things we see, but at what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. The trouble you see is temporary. That's what Moses said. The soldiers you see today, you will see them no more before crossing the Red Sea. The trouble you are seeing today, if you're able to see through Christ, you will see no real evil in it. You learn to see the truth, not in the natural, not in face value, in the spirit, what God says about it. Going to the cross for Simon Peter was the end, and he wanted to stop Jesus. But Jesus saw beyond the cross. He saw the resurrection. When Jesus walked towards the graveside of Lazarus, Mary and Martha said, Lord, you are too late. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Jesus was able to see beyond the natural, beyond the grave, the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. And he called Lazarus, come forth, and the dead came back. Do we believe this? In the natural, it seems incredible. But in the spiritual, God said it, and that's what happened. We believe in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that by the word of God, what is seen and what is unseen came from the word. That's why we are here today. Now, we talk about meditation. What's the meaning of that? The teaching said meditation helped me to change my focus from what I see to God's point of view. Now, I will give you a clear example to illustrate this. The example is, we all know, and we'll come back to Ananias and Paul. In the situation, in the natural, everybody was scared of this man called Saul. He was a wolf. He was a lion. He was chasing Christians all over. He even left Jerusalem and went to Damascus with letters of authority, arresting men, women, put them to prison, put them to judgment, and forces them to blaspheme. That's what he said. He was fighting that way because he was absolutely in the natural point of view. He never knew who Jesus was. He was doing this in complete ignorance. So the disciples, some see this man as a wolf. But Jesus saw him differently. Everybody saw the present state of Saul. The person you are looking at today as your enemy, can be your friend tomorrow in God's perspective. Who will tell you that this man that everybody's afraid of will become one of the greatest apostles in the future? That's what Christ saw. On his way to Damascus, something happened to him. Saul was translated from the natural to the spiritual. And there, something happened to him. He saw the vision of Jesus. He heard the voice of Jesus. The God he was fighting zealously, he was fighting against that same God. Until that God revealed to him, say, who are you, Lord? He was serving, fighting for a God he never knew. And Jesus said to him, I am Jesus whom you persecute. You are persecuting my body. If you persecute my followers, you are persecuting me. And immediately, Saul was blind in the natural by the glory of Jesus. What happened? Somebody took him by the hand and carried him to Damascus. And the mission changed. Now, he's not coming to chase Christian. He became a fisher of man to bring people to Christianity. When he came and met Ananias, Ananias prayed for him, tell him the foundation of the gospel, and the Holy Ghost came upon him, and his life changed forever. From a natural man, he became a spiritual man. That's the same person that gave us the book of Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Thessalonians. That's Apostle Paul, who laid down the foundation of Christian belief today. Can't you see? If we look at natural circumstances, we don't have the right judgment. That's why we are called to be like Jesus, to see life the way Jesus sees it. That's what he came for. What Jesus came to your life to take you from the natural person to the spiritual person, from the nature Adam to the nature of Christ. You can be in the spirit and walk in the spirit. You will no longer be ignorant of God in your life. And that is the peace of heaven. That is eternal life. What is more precious than that? More than silver, more than gold. That's what Christ has come to build for those who believe in his message. That's the good news. Now, let's continue. I'll explain how meditation. Today, we need to understand the meaning of this. We all know Joshua. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, Moses, who was a man of God, had a servant called Joshua. And one day God said, Joshua should take over and lead the people into the promised land. What a scary thing for Joshua. God has to speak to him so many times to encourage him to have faith and not to be afraid, because the task was enormous. God gave him the success plan, the success for every person who wants to walk in the spirit and be successful in your home, in your marriage, in your career. This is the way. He said to him, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, I will read. Today we are talking about the purpose of meditation in the word of God. When you are thinking about your problem, that is not meditation. That's thinking processes. When you meditate on the word of God, that is meditation. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Yes, I read. This book of the law, or this Bible you are holding, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Not just success, good success. Let me come back to my drawing. Means this Bible, everything you want to have is recorded in it. You are in it. I am in it. God is in it. The promise of God is in this Bible. That's why Jesus said in the book of John chapter 8, verse 31, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does it mean to abide in the word? To abide in the word is to meditate in the word of God. To abide in the word does not abide in your lips. It is in your heart. So meditation is the language of your heart. To abide in the word is to connect your heart to the word of God. To seek to hear his voice, his inner voice. That's the purpose of meditation. To shift you from the natural and to be in the spirit where you could be able to hear the word of God. So meditation is the bridge that will translate you to the spirit. So that's what God said to Joshua, come into my presence. And then you will know my mind. I will give you instruction. I will give you revelation. I will tell you what to do. Mean you will learn to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is to walk in harmony with the Word of God. Not the Word of God written in the pages, but the Word in your heart. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in harmony with the will of God. And that's the will of God that brings God's power onto the scene in everything you do in your life. We have seen in the testimonies how the Word can come and change people's life. Who fulfilled the Word? God. Who gives it? God. That's why the Word is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let's continue an example. So, you are reading your Bible. How do we read this Bible? This Bible, we need to approach it differently. It's not a book. It's not an ordinary book that you just read and drop. It's not meant to be read by your mind. It's meant to be read by your heart. When you are reading the Bible, you are planting the seed into your own heart. That's the parable of the sower. Which word is this? Jesus calls it the word of the kingdom. That's the rock of the living word that comes from the mouth of God. So when you open your Bible and read, you read this Bible slowly. Remember what the prophet taught us. Read the Bible slowly, attentively, repeatedly. What's the meaning of that? You need to read the Bible slowly. Why? Because as you are reading this Bible is reading you. When you are reading this Bible, it's as if you are talking to God. And when your heart is ready, you are hearing God speaking to you. As you are reading the Bible is reading you. It reflects your heart. So when you are reading it, you should allow the Word to read you. How does the Word read you? It will read you when your conscience begins to react to what you are reading. Any portion you read that is personal to you, the Holy Ghost will do something special to you. It will tell you what you have just read concerns you. He will take you to a place to realize that this word is true for you. It's not just a story you read. The word becomes alive by meditation when the Holy Ghost comes and imparts the divine nature of this word in your life. Read it slowly. Allow this word to read you slowly. Repeatedly. What's the meaning of that? You read until you understand. If you don't understand what you're reading, don't close it. Read it till you come to a level of understanding. That's why we go to school. The teachers are very patient with us. Some people have quick understanding. Some others are slow to understand. But a good teacher will take you one by one till you come to a place of understanding. That's the first ingredient of faith, to understand what you're reading. And that's the work of Holy Spirit. So, read it repeatedly means after you have read this Bible. What did you do? Next step. You close your Bible and you begin to reflect on what you have read. This is all. After you have read your Bible, what do? You meditate on what you have read before. You read. After you read, sit back in silence and begin to reflect on what you have read. Begin to meditate on what you have read in the Holy Bible. And this is the only way to get this Bible, this word into your heart. This is the way to turn the letter you read into spirit into your heart. This is what we call you take the word into your heart. And when it enters your heart, it becomes spirit. This is the key. To translate the natural word to a spiritual word deep inside of you. So, to meditate, as I wrote here for you, is to tarry for the Holy Spirit to come to you. When the Holy Spirit comes, then it will become your helper. Jesus has said so many things to the disciples, and they couldn't understand. He talked about his resurrection. He didn't understand the meaning of it. In John, Chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you're going to understand them now. When the Holy Ghost come, he will guide you into the fullness of the truth. He will open the eyes of your understanding. You will be able to understand deep things of God. That is his work. The meaning of the Bible is not in the natural, it's in the spiritual. When you read story, when I read by my mind, I'm reading stories. Oh, about Jacob, about this. It doesn't have any practical side in my life. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he will convict you and tell you, this is practical for you. This word is speaking to you. And the word becomes personal. It becomes intimate. It begins to speak to you, speak to your life. So, what do you do? This is meditation. To meditate is to invite the Holy Spirit. Because what you want to know is difficult to know by your mental imagination. You need help. There are so many parables, so many words in the Bible that are difficult to understand by human knowledge. To the extent, go with this, 2 Peter, what Peter said. Peter said, Paul, God gave him great wisdom. There are many things Paul said that are hard to understand. So we need the Holy Ghost to understand the divine meaning of the parable of Jesus, of the words of Jesus, of the words of life. Now, when I meditate, means I need help. I'm attracting the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, what happened next? What happened when the Spirit comes? You can see, this person is reading. You want to understand? He's reading. What brings the Holy Ghost? When you are reading for eternal life. You are reading because you want to know who God is. You want to know who Jesus really is. You want to know what the promises of heaven, what eternal life means. You want to know what God is saying beyond the words, the divine meaning of the scriptures. That's the life in the word. When the Holy Ghost sees that you are sincere to know the truth and you need help, the helper will come. When the helper will come, that means it will help you to close these eyes in the natural and to open the eyes of your spiritual eyes to see in the spirit. That's the prayer that Apostle Paul gives to every believer. I pray that God fill you with the spirit of revelation in the knowledge and wisdom of his way so you can understand the ways of the Lord. So when the Holy Ghost comes, he will take you from the natural point of view to the spiritual. And that's what you want to know. When we have natural situations happening in the world, we want to know what God says about it. And how? Only if I'm in the mind of God, in the heart of God, will I be able to know what God says about this situation. Lazarus' death was the end of everything. For everyone is period. Even they say, Lord, it is stench. I mean, it's decomposing already. It's over. Nobody had hope to see Lazarus. Nobody. But Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. When Jesus said, remove the stone, people say, what are you doing, Lord? It's smelling. Jesus sent forth the word. And Lazarus came back. If you believe that word, you know who Jesus is. In the natural, it is impossible. But in the spiritual, that's where God is. That's why Jesus said, God is spirit. Those who worship him, those who relate with him, must do so in spirit and in truth. Meditation is our connection to the Spirit by the help of Holy Spirit. This is what I want to say. We have different sorts of meditation in the world today. Just keeping silence and begin to invoking is not meditation. We don't invoke. You don't know what kind of spirit you are attracting. We meditate in the Word of God. To meditate is to meditate in the seed of life of the Word of God. Because Holy Spirit can only come, only attracted by the Word of God. And the Word of God is holy, is sanctification. Sanctify them by the truth, for your word is truth. That's why you have to be very careful. To be a Christian is a spiritual thing based on the living Word of God. God will never ask me to meditate for something that is not sanctioned by the Scriptures. God will never ask me to meditate about something that is not in line with the Bible, with the Word of God. That's the word we call. So meditation in the Word of God is a visit with the Holy Spirit. So when you meditate, you see in Acts chapter 8, you will read at home, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah without understanding. But in his heart, he wanted to understand, who is this man that will die for me? Who is this person? He wanted to know the truth. Then the Holy Ghost looked at him immediately. When you meditate, when you read your Bible for God's sake, your heart becomes a fertile ground. That's what Jesus said. That's a good ground. Why? Because Holy Ghost will come and water the seed. You want to attract Holy Spirit? Read your Bible. Meditate on the Word of God. Don't meditate on phantasm. Don't meditate on thought. Meditate on the living Word of God. That's the seed that will bring the presence of God in your life. What happens when you meditate and the Holy Spirit comes? Look at this picture. The part of your make, the part of you that can go in the spirit is not your body, it's your spirit. This is what we call rapture, taken into the spirit. This man has the spirit inside of him. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, your spiritual being, your innermost being, your spirit is translated in the spirit. The spirit will come upon you. He opened the eyes of faith of this spiritual man. This is the one that truly see visions and hear from God. So when you are meditating, it's not the flesh is thinking, but this one is meditating constantly. This is the one that was meditating. Holy Ghost did not come for this one. This one is thinking. That's your flesh. Fear. But this one inside was the one meditating. So when you meditate, in fact, it starts in the natural, but the real you inside of you will connect to the spirit. And that's the one that dreams. This is the one that has visions. This is the one that hears from God. This is the spiritual person of you, inside of you, not this flesh. The spirit can only rapture, take away spiritual things, not natural. That's why when you talk about rapture, this body will go back to the dust. At the last day when Jesus comes, this body becomes spiritual, and that's a spiritual one that will go to heaven. The spirit only attracts spiritual things. The part of you inside of you, your innermost being, your spirit is the one that receives revelation from God. When the spirit of God will rapture you in spirit, go read the book of Ezekiel. Was taken in the spirit to see the dry bones. God can take you to the spirit to see vision. When the Lord visited Saul in Acts chapter 9, it was the spirit of Saul that saw Jesus, not his body. So when you meditate, this one attracts the spirit of God. This is fundamental for our life. This is the foundation series we talk about. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, that man was reading. He couldn't understand. When God saw that this man wanted to really know the truth, Holy Ghost came upon him. And see what happened. The Spirit, Holy Ghost said to Philip, go near this man on this chariot. Go. Help is coming. Help you understand what you don't understand. That's exactly what happened here. When Philip came, he began to speak to the man words of life. So when the Holy Ghost comes, it's to prepare you to hear the word that can change your life. That word comes from heaven, not from a man. That's the living word we plant in your heart. Now you can see next step. What happened? You see the plane taking off. When the Holy Ghost comes, you enter the plane of the Spirit of God. Who is the pilot? Holy Spirit. Who is the plane? The Word of Life. Holy Ghost will take you. You take off from the natural. You lose sight of the natural and enter the Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. He will take you in the Spirit. He will take you high beyond the realm of the natural into the very presence of God, where you're going to hear revelation from God. In UOG, we say, sense knowledge ceases when revelation comes. So when the Holy Ghost carries you, this is the purpose of meditation. This is why prophets should say, meditation with God is a visit with God. You have to be in the spirit. Now you are going in the spirit with him. He is taking you into God's dimension to a place where you can hear the voice of God. This is why before you pray, you have to meditate till we take you to the realm of prayer. Before you prophesy, you have to meditate till the spirit take you to the realm of prophecy, the counsel of God. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. You can't just come and open our mouth. You have to be in the right place before you open your mouth. Everything has a realm, has a dimension. Are you a preacher? There's a realm for preaching. There's an anointing for that. Are you a prophet? There's a realm for prophet, anointing for that. Are you an apostle? There's a realm for that. Everything has an anointing for that. That's why we have prophets, apostles, evangelists, and teachers, and care people. Now, in this section, Holy Ghost wants to take you to a realm where you can receive a specific message from God. You can see now the plane is cruising high above the natural. You see the clouds are here. Means you are above the atmosphere. You are above the attraction of this earth. This is, you are in the spirit. You are in the air. You are in the spirit where the plane cruises. This is a dimension of revelation. This is where God will begin to give you revelation from above. That's the realm of revelation when you are in the spirit. Only the spirit of God can take you there. You have to meditate till he takes you to that realm. That's where you can only be able to discern what God is saying to you in the spiritual, not in the natural. Now, you see the person inside the plane. That's you. You can see the spiritual man is on board of the plane. You are in the spirit here. You are carried by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1, 20-21, holy men of God were carried along, was moved by the Holy Spirit to receive a message and to declare the message that comes from God from above. Now, you see here, meditation, what's the purpose of revelation? It's the realization of something you never knew before. That's the word of knowledge that comes. And the Holy Ghost comes, word of knowledge will come. And the word of knowledge will tell you something you never heard, never knew. You will see what has not yet been seen. It will show you what is to come. You will hear what no one has heard. The word of foreknowledge and the word of wisdom, the word of prophecy will come, telling you what is to come. That's where revelation of the heart and the mind of God comes when you are in the realm of that spirit. Holy Ghost is the one that will reveal those things to you. You have to be in that high to receive the message from above. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 12. You will see that David, King David, Solomon built it. If I asked anybody who built the temple, they say Solomon, of course. But Solomon built the temple. But who received the plan? Who received revelation on how to build the temple? It's not Solomon. It is David. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, from verse 19 down, you will read that he said to his son, this plan I received them by revelation from God. David was always in the spirit. That's why he was a psalmist. He was worshiping God, praising God in the spirit. That's why God opened his heart to him. He was a man after God's own heart. God revealed everything to him. God revealed to him who Jesus is, high priest in the order of Melchizedek. God revealed to him the crucifixion, Psalm 22. God revealed the resurrection of Jesus, Psalm 16. God revealed the words of Jesus at the cross to him. I commit my spirit into your hand. Everything God revealed to this man. Why? Because he was a spiritual person. So meditation brings revelation of the things today or the things to come. That's why David was a prophet because of that. So when he continued to look at this plan, there's something to receive revelation from God. There's another thing to understand it. God may give you a dream, a revelation in the spirit, which is so big, but revelation is here, not here. So your mind may not understand it. That's why we continue to meditate, to ask the Holy Ghost to help me to understand it. Go and read Daniel chapter 9. When Daniel saw a vision of what is to come, Daniel was on his knees. He continued to pray. Angel Gabriel came and began to open the understanding of Daniel to understand the vision. God said, understand the vision. Holy Ghost will come and give you. This understanding I'm talking about is not human. It's spiritual understanding. This is the one. What is the difference between revelation and understanding? I'm just showing these two. This one, it is your conscience. This one, God is being the light of spiritual understanding. When God gives you revelation, it's not over. The plane cannot stay there forever. The message you receive is not for you. It's to communicate the message to human beings. So the plane has to land. When Jesus was in the mountain of transfiguration here, Jesus saw the glory of God. And when Jesus came down from the mountain, he told them some truth that they couldn't understand. He has to help them to understand the message. This is upper. This is lower level. Upper means you have revelation from God straight. Saul saw the glory of Jesus, but later he understood the purpose of the revelation. This is Revelation's Holy Ghost will take you now to spiritual understanding. You are still in the plane. You are still there. You're about to land. You begin to think about it. He will give you understanding of the vision. Now, once you understand what God gives you, you make sure you understand it. Now the plane is going to land. You are still meditating here. You are still in the spirit. When the other example I'm going to give you is Ananias. When Jesus said to Ananias, you want to send him to Saul, for Saul to become a Christian. But Ananias was afraid of Saul. He never knew. So God has to wait till Ananias was sleeping in the night. And the Lord gave him vision. What happened to Ananias for this one? Let me go back to the first step. Jesus took Ananias here from the natural to the spirit. Ananias became spiritual. And in the spirit, Holy Ghost take him to that realm. He left the earth, he was in the spirit, and there above the natural things, God revealed to him. Jesus spoke to him. He said, who is this man? Saul. Oh Lord, this man did this. Jesus said to him, this man, I'm telling you, is a minister of God. I'm sending you to this man. He has seen you coming and praying for him to recover his sight. I want to send you to this man. You are seeing me, but after this vision is finished, go and see this man. Lay hands on him. He has seen you in the spirit, and he will recover his sight. Here, Ananias got to understand the purpose of God of the dream, that this man is a minister of God. That's why he's going to pray for him to receive salvation. Because he was a spiritual person, now what happened? When the plan lands, when the dream stops, you're about to wake up. When the plane will land. This place symbolizes when you are in this, you are still in the spirit. But this tarmac you see here, this is your conscience or your heart. Once you understand, the plane has to be in contact with the tarmac here. When you have revelation, it has to land in your heart deeply. That is called conviction. The plane lands, the truth lands and settles in your heart. At the point of conviction, this is the conscience. Holy Ghost will contact you. Revelation will contact you and settle here. Only here you have conviction. Because you are still in a dream. God will reveal. If Ananias was convicted, this is where God wants me to go. I have to go to the natural and go meet this man. The plane has to land. Now you woke up from your dream. You can see the plane is no longer in the air. It's on the ground. You are in the ground here. But why is it on the ground? It lands here. I mean, the conviction settled in your heart. This is what God wants. Now I know what God wants. Now you have to go where God is sending you. Who is piloting the plane? The pilot is there. You are seeing your seatbelt fastened. The plane lands here to give you conviction in your heart that this is what God wants. It's settled. This is where belief starts. When the word settles in your heart, you begin to believe that, yes, it is true. Now, you are not going to jump from the runway. The plane has to take you directly here to the terminal. And this I want to explain. Why am I showing this? To explain to you the difference between conscience and mind. In your conscience, you are high above the natural. That's when the plane was stopped. You hear the voice of God. You feel the revelation. But now, God even to send you to a human being. God wants to send Ananias to Paul. So in the morning, you have to wake up. So the plane will taxi from the runway to the terminal. We all know we take plane. The plane is taxiing. It's no longer in the spirit. It's in the natural. The wheel are on the natural. Now, when you woke up, you have revelation. This is what happened. Between the runway and the terminal, you begin to think about your dream. You begin to ponder, what's this dream God gave me? Where God is sending me? Holy Ghost is still carrying you to the terminal. This is a natural mean. After giving you revelation in your heart, he will take it to your mind. The terminal is your mind. This is your mind. When the Spirit comes, he will land here in your heart. Now, he will help you to understand it here in your mind. This is between the runway and the terminal is this one. This is the gateway. Gateway. But this is the one that takes decision. This is the one that doubt. This one can doubt this one. Is it from God? If Ananias woke up and said, this is a nightmare. It's not from God. He will never go. But this is where Holy Ghost will help you to bring the spiritual understanding to your natural understanding. This is what we call the renewing of the mind. Your earthly mind, your earthly understanding must give way to spiritual enlightenment. When the Holy Ghost comes, it will drive the word to your mind. And when it comes here, it will speak to you in a natural language you understand. This is God speaking to me. So your mind and your heart agrees. This is the key here. So when the plane come, now what happened when the plane come here to the terminal? What do you do? We all know. We remove our seat belt. We carry our hand luggage and get out of the plane. Now you are walking in the natural. This is the work of faith. Faith starts here. When you come to your mind here, what happened? You are here. The plane, the flight has finished. The pilot switched off the engine and use your spirit come back into this body. The dream has stopped. When you woke up here, you say, Ananias woke up from the dream and say, yes, this is what God wants me to do. He never doubted. The man woke up and walked straight. He left the plane. He walked straight, get out of the airport, and come and see Paul, say, hey, my brother. This is what God say. Brother Saul. That's what he said to him, brother, because God revealed to him in the spirit. So you have to be in the spirit, but you have to walk in the natural. That's what faith is all about. When you are in the spirit, you can hear from God, but you have to walk by faith to put that word into reality. If a prophet receives message from God in the spirit, when he woke up, he will go and speak that word to the person he sent to. This is the purpose of meditation. Before you act, before you speak, you must find out what God says. That's why before you pray, before you preach, before you do anything, you have to be in a realm to know what God says first in the spirit. You must know the truth, understand the truth, and be convinced when it lands in your heart. Conviction comes. Then you can walk towards the person God sends you. This is the key. It's not a theory I'm telling you. I'm just sharing my practical experience, what I learned from Prophet Future, what I learned in my personal life. If you want to hear from God, if you want to walk from God, we have to do this thing. But we read the Bible, we confess with the mouth, and we close it, and nothing happened. Because all these processes, we dodge this processing. The word can never enter your heart and attract the Holy Ghost if you do not meditate on it. Meditation brings revelation. When revelation comes, conviction come. Faith is complete, and then you can walk by faith towards God. If you do this, you will never walk in the natural. You will never speak in the natural. You never act in the natural. You will find out from God first before you do anything. So that is it. This is the message we share with you today. Go over it and pray to God over it. If you put it into practice, it's the key of success God gave to Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. This is the key of success in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. This is the key of what Jesus taught his disciples. Upon this word of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. This is the reason why Jesus said, tarry until you receive Holy Spirit from above. Then you will be able to be my witnesses, led by the Spirit in everything you do. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, let this message sink deep into people's heart, Lord. Holy Ghost, you are the teacher. Open their heart to your word. Open their heart to spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9. Take us to a place of understanding. Take us to a place of belief. Take us to the place of conviction. Take us to the place of faith, led by you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.